Boston, proper noun. Capital city of Massachusetts, where the American megalopolis starts.
Bastard, noun. A person that is born to an anonymous father.
Brigade, noun. A team of people that gather together for a common cause.
Boston Bastard Brigade. A team of men and women from the Boston area that come together to talk about entertainment and sports. It is here where all people are treated equally, no matter whom they are, where they come from, what they believe in, or who they sleep with. It may not be a utopia, but we sure have fun here.
Giggity, giggity,
giggity, good.
Giggity, 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 good.
This is the Boston Bastard Brigade.
We are bastards.
From Boston.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 7, The Real and Glorious Bastards.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm
Fuck you, it's a circle!
All right, I'm fine. Jade Black Flame.
You, sir, are an asshole. Alright, well anyways, Blue Onik here.
And Anvil.
And don't forget me, Pandalicious.
Yep, we have a sister here.
Hi, guys.
I have a sister?
Yes, two of them.
As a bastard, you have a sister.
But two of them.
Wait till my real
sister maybe three.
Find out.
Maybe three. Who knows?
She's cooler.
No, now I can lock him in the basement.
Please don't lock me in a basement. I had to
My real sister.
How would you lock your sisters in
like,
the basement?
Like, I had to go onto the Underground Railroad just to get here. It was hard.
Yeah. But come on.
Jeez, I didn't know my truck was the Underground Railroad.
Jeez. Well, actually, hey, I thought it was more efficient at the DC Zoo.
I know, and I can read the word Tennessee and Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
Whoa.
I learned goods.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Lake Titicaca?
What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, no.
He was staring.
Oh, I hate life.
No.
All right, that's it.
So, what the hell are we doing today?
Anyway, if you haven't checked us out yet, we are on BostonBastardBrigade.com. Our email is thebastards@BostonBastardBrigade.com. If you want to give us some feedback or some ideas that you want us to talk about.
It's our name in front of at BostonBastardBrigade.com, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Except for myself, because I'm Black Flame at BostonBastardBrigade.com.
Because he's a loser and he lost his shades.
I did in a car accident.
Hey, listen. You're the one that ran into the nun, okay? You can't call
No, I'm actually answer. Being totally serious on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
You seriously ran over a nun?
No, I got hit by a car. Uh-huh. My car now matches my hair. It's got a blonde streak in it.
But anyway, Pandalicious, before we begin, just tell me, how did Electric Sisterhood get started anyway?
That would be all because of Ninja Sister. She would call the house every Friday to talk to me and Ash Mom, and she talked to Ash Mom for like 5 minutes, and then as soon as I got on the line, it was, oh, have you seen this movie? Oh, have you played this video game? Oh, have you done crack? And it just kept happening to the point where Ninja was like, we should record this. We are hilarious. And the recordings happened, and then here we are 3 years later.
Nice.
And then the bastards were born from the sisters.
I don't think anyone was born.
Who's that daddy?
I don't like being a bastard. Wait, are we Southern? Where the bastards were born from our sisters.
Oh. Wait, or are we from Harlem where our mother don't even know where her daddy is.
Is that in the concept that I'm my own grandpa?
Yeah.
Damn! Yo, you're your own grandpa, brother, uncle, and dog.
Oh, right. Shit!
I don't even want to know how the dog got in there.
Yeah,
hey, it's down south. Everything goes.
Anyway, before we get off track...
Yay, coffee.
Let's get started with talking about Inglorious Bastards.
The original Bastards.
The original Bastards, as it were. The new film from Quentin Tarantino.
Who?
The greatest American film director that he's ever been.
Yes.
What accent was that supposed to be?
The worst German accent ever.
And I think...
Nine!
Ten!
Shut up, Hitler! So, what do we feel about this movie here?
Fucking awesome, with the exception of the scout people the wrong way.
The scout people the wrong way?
Yeah,
you're actually supposed to grab the hair in the back of the head, slice from ear to ear, pull it forward while cutting. You're not supposed to go front to back because it results in tiny scalps like they were showing.
Yeah, basically,
back to front results
you look
in
like a typical old
head.
Guy with the whole ring of hair.
Yeah,
all right, that's
back
it.
To front takes off almost all of it.
This is World War II. They don't have time for that shit.
Yeah, they gotta get an axe scalp.
They kill everyone in the vicinity. They've got time to piss if they need to.
They probably
piss
did.
On the head?
Hey, whatever they're into.
Actually, I think they probably would slit their throat and fuck them through the hole.
You're listening to too much Slipknot.
It kind of reminded me of that whole natural born killers where they always leave somebody alive. You know, like
you had to spread the fear.
Yeah, they have to spread the fear in that way. But it was more, the only thing that they left them with was a nice little Nazi symbol in the
swastika forehead. On the forehead.
Woohoo!
So. Cut in so it can never go away.
That was glorious.
Oh, that was awesome.
Now, what did you think of the acting in this film? Because they were talking about Christoph Waltz actually getting an Oscar for his role as the Jew Hunter.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
He was insane.
No, yes. Truthfully,
Mike
I think
Myers
I saw the Jewish
really...
guy in front of us curl up in the seat every time they showed up. No lie.
My biggest problem acting-wise was Mike Meyer.
And, oh, Lord.
He's a good actor. I like him. Don't get me wrong. I felt like he was Mike Myers.
It wasn't his
presence. Not...
Because he's been overshadowed by these other
no-name
people.
No, not just...
He
was so overshadowed, shadowed, like you said. And just the feel he gave off wasn't that of his character.
Yeah.
It was his past characters. I felt like I was watching Austin Powers who had just woken up in the wrong location.
Yeah.
Well, truthfully, you know, the way he looked... They could make Simpsons a live movie and make a Mr. Burns the way he was dressed.
Yeah.
The hair, the liver spots, everything.
Oh, God, that'd be pretty hilarious, actually. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
I know, I'd pay.
Yeah.
Now, without spoiling the ending, how did we feel about how things went down?
The root.
All I can say is that everything that went in that story, I mean, it wasn't along the lines because some of the stuff didn't happen in World War II. But,
it was
just a fucking great, like, imagination
was fucking
and everything
amazing.
Like that.
I'm trying to figure out why Will Ferrell was in the movie.
Hey.
What?
Punch bag. That's all I have to say. When you watch it, you'll understand. Fucking awesome, though.
Yes, punch bag.
And baseball bat.
Baseball bat,
indefinitely.
Yep.
Lansdowne.
You love Ted Williams mentioning that.
Two swings and you'll
park.
Be out of the park.
That's right.
And he had the whole Bostonian accent.
Oh, my God.
He pulled out Ted Williams, Fenway Park, Lansdowne Street. He did it. I love that.
And everyone in the theater was just like, woo!
I was expecting
if it wasn't the theater, it was just us and we were loud enough.
Yeah, we were loud enough.
Sounded like the whole theater.
I think that was a funny thing because actually, I think we were the kids that were at least under 30.
Yeah.
You know what it was? There were so many old people that the hearing aids. When we yelled, it just magnified off the hearing aids.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of old people there.
Yeah.
This is
going
to be a nice movie about World War II. Oh, yes, Agnes, that's really going to be a great one.
Chances are a lot of people went to this thinking that it was going to be another...
Kind of like black and white old 50s.
Well, no.
Defiance. Kind of like Defiance.
I was going to say...
Defiance was good.
It was.
And I didn't have to read during the movie. That's what I didn't like.
That's one of the things I loved about this, though. They used actual German. They used actual French. The people who were speaking it had really good accents.
I've read one book since I got out of high school. I don't want to read a movie.
Fair enough. I'm just saying, I like that about it. I'm into subtitles because it makes it feel real.
I mean, I understand that.
But,
I mean, come on.
As far as the age demographic that we saw, I think a lot of people went to see it thinking it was going to be another, like, historically accurate. I wasn't even thinking that, and then I'm watching it, I'm like,
people were thinking it was going to be, like, Valkyrie.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, what I was trying to say.
Well, actually, that was
wasn't it
next,
historically accurate? But I saw the ending, and I thought it was historically accurate in my mind.
But, I think a lot of people went to see it not realizing exactly what it was going to be.
You know, for an 11:10 a.m. film...
That was
a shit.
Yeah.
I think we should have got in there and, like, beat some old people so we could have gotten better seats.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey,
that's just me, man.
That was one thing about Nazis, but beating an elderly.
Yes, you can. Come on.
Elderly Nazis.
If they were elderly Nazis,
we couldn't beat them. We'd have to actually kill them.
Get it out.
You know what it is nowadays?
They'll complain, and you'll get sued.
No, because look at these sports athletes. You know, hurt somebody or something, you get 2 years in jail, but you actually kill them a month later, you're out.
Exactly.
That's my argument.
You have to listen to a past episode.
We
about
have to
this.
Edit that. You said my last name.
No, I didn't.
It's okay. No. We'll reverse that part so it's inaudible.
All right.
What'd you say?
What I said, he did.
I guess I said his last name.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Oh. We'll cut out this part. But anyways,
whatever.
No, just reverse your name.
Nagahu.
You don't want. No, you don't want to know that. It's the N word backwards.
No,
it is.
You're shitting me.
He played it backwards. My name is.
You're shitting me.
But that's not the same.
See, I think I'm going to hear that later.
Backwards, everything sounds weird when you just straight up.
Cool.
Have you ever heard the Drowning Pool song "Sermon"?
Oh. Yes.
You know the ending.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, tell me what you believe.
Yeah.
Sounds nothing like that reversed.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I think it was more of a reference to when Ozzy Osbourne used to do it in the 80s.
I think it's a reference to...
Ritalin.
Ritalin.
Woo-hoo. Okay.
Good Ritalin. Point.
Focusing.
For all those who don't know, I'm holding up a giant tangent sign, because that's where they just went.
Tangent? What?
I spent 13 years in high school.
Good job. Good job.
I can spell BAMF.
Okay, now as a... A rating, what would you give this film? For me, I would give it a 4.8 out of 5.
Okay.
Because even though I loved it, and then there were parts where it kind of dragged, but I felt it added to the tension of the scene. Especially...
The opening scene.
Yes, especially the opening
All
scene.
All 2 hours and 32 minutes.
There was only one scene I thought dragged too much, and that's when the... Jew Bear, whatever he was called.
The Bear Jew.
Thank you. The Bear Jew was coming out. I thought they could have cut off, 2 minutes
No, because that builds the suspense. You're sitting there like, what?
You're like, what does this guy look like? I was thinking this big guy.
No, no, truthfully, for me, it was suspense. I'm freaking annoyed. I give...
Like, please hit my head now.
Truthfully, yeah. I would have found it funny if Vern Troyer walked out. I mean, and for you guys that don't know Vern Troyer,
it was meant to do tension.
I understand that, but I felt that they did it too much, to the point where it went for me, tension, overkill, I've lost all interest in this, just show the fuck up.
I think for me, all the spaces that didn't include Landa, you know, where other people were just kind of talking, waiting, response, waiting, retort, waiting...
Well, okay, I'd have to say about the movie part. Like, when they were going to go in to see the movie, and, of course, Brad Pitt and the rest of the guys were trying to act as they were Italian.
And then you fucking...
Well, they were meant to be quiet.
Yeah, that was meant to be, like, kind
of... But there was a lot of dialogue, and a lot of awkward pauses.
Let me just say, too, that I felt that Brad Pitt was kind of like... trying to be like an Errol Flynn-like character. For those who don't know, their 1930s movies... Errol Flynn was like the big action star during that time, and he kind of reminded me of that actor.
He could have done so much better.
Actually, I liked him in the end. You know, as Mr. Uptight Italian dude, I think he brought the comedy to that part because he sounded like the whitest person I've ever met in my entire life.
Grazie.
No, grazie.
He had
he felt like he was from Tennessee or something.
That's where he was from.
Yeah, that's where
he was from. Yes, I know, but he pulled off the accent while trying to act Italian. I liked it.
Oh, that was awesome. I personally give it a 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was a friggin' hilarious, amazing movie. I was laughing my ass off. I know some people were cringing because of the scalping and skull cutting, but it was fucking awesome.
I say, yeah. Yeah. I'm probably along the lines of a 4.5 or 4.8 easily.
Yeah.
Just because of, like, how it was set up. But there were the dry, wheat toast kind of areas in there that could have been dropped the fuck out, but...
Yeah.
But they just did it the way it was, so...
I mean, it's not like you get your testicles blown off or anything.
Oh! Especially in the bar, in the basement.
Boom! Boom! Boom!
Yeah, it makes me not want to go to a bar with, you know...
Don't go to a bar that's in a
don't
basement.
Don't go to Cheers.
With Germans.
Well, actually, Cheers is no longer there. It's just a sign now.
Really?
Yeah, they moved it. In the hall.
Oh, yes. Dude, it's weak.
But they built it so it looks like the actual Cheers from the TV show.
Yeah, it's like a museum now. You can go in there and...
I wanted to go to the original Cheers that the TV show's location was based off of.
It is. That's a museum now.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I wanted to go there while
you can sit there and have your picture taken.
You just can't go there and drink beer.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm actually, they might do that next year.
Oh, well, then.
I will keep... You know,
keep everybody posted.
Because we should all go there and get drunk.
Pain delicious. What would you get, Glorious Bastards?
I'd be very comfortable with what you guys are saying. A 4.5, 4.8. Quentin Tarantino often gives me eye-popping stuff. I mean, Kill Bill, hello. I mean, the whole black and white scene, you didn't need to see the color to know it was painted all over the set.
Pulp Fiction.
So, I mean, he brings that to life, which I really like. Like I said, some parts of the dialogue were kind of dry.
Reservoir Dogs.
I mean, outside of that, I mean, it kept my attention. I mean, I feel kind of bad because I kept fidgeting a little bit, and I kept doing that black thing in movie theaters, and you all know what I'm talking about. I'm the, and I don't do that in movies very often.
I feel bad. I do that, too.
You must have hard black in you.
It would explain a few things.
But I was just he's gonna,
I have to say the one other part was when they were in the bar, and they had the one guy that killed the 13 officers. He stayed, like, that, the one...
We were laughing so hard, during.
He gave him the most evil look ever.
It
like, every time
kill.
He came back, yeah, he was just like,
I think we just kept looking back at both of them, just like, he just wants to kick that man's ass.
I was waiting for him to knife him.
I thought he was going to.
Yeah, knife him in the spinal cord or something, that would have been awesome.
Did he end up doing that?
I think...
No, was just
who was that guy who was stabbing one guy in, like, a...
That was stab shot.
That was him, he's just like,
and then he's blown away.
Yeah.
Go! But yes. So, I mean, I'd be very comfortable with a 4.5, 4.8 range out of 5.
Sweet. Easily. It's that great of a movie, so we definitely suggest to go and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great movie. One of the best of the year.
I give it 4 thumbs up.
You have
those
4 thumbs.
Those are your fucking toes, dude.
I lost them. I took somebody else's thumbs and had to put them on my toes.
Right.
So you can pick things up pretty easily, and you can play two different 360 controllers.
He's amazing.
He can fight himself in Fighters.
No, you should see me back when I played Atari. I had 4 things.
Okay, that's it. All right, let's
go
on.
All
right. I went by myself, but then Anvil and Belonic went and saw it together.
I hate you.
Whoa, as friends, of course.
I hate y'all.
There was no whining and dying.
We held hands. No, I'm just kidding.
District 9.
I hate you all.
The first film by Neil Blomkamp. Produced by Peter Jackson. Now, what a lot of people...
I'm seeing this tonight.
What people don't know is that Neil Blomkamp was originally supposed to do the Halo movie.
Ooh.
But it got cancelled.
Yeah.
But then Peter Jackson saw him do this film Alive in Joburg, which is what District 9 is based off of.
Hmm.
Wow.
Really?
I'm confused. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that about Joburg.
Basically the same thing about aliens living in South Africa.
Ah, damn it. First zombies, now aliens.
Of course, everything out of Africa.
God!
Now, the way it was...
AIDS, aliens.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if aliens gave Africans AIDS.
Oh!
Aliens in disguise as monkeys?
Whoa. Yes.
Now, are we talking Mexican aliens or aliens from outer space?
I meant aliens from outer space. How would Mexicans get to Africa? Swim?
Yes. That or paddle.
Same way that they get to,
they use a sombrero as a boat.
No, they take
something else.
Take an old rust-out car, throw some tires on it, and fly.
Holy shit, when did this turn to bastards to racist?
Hey, we're not racist.
We hate everybody equally. I know.
Now, the way that this movie was filmed, it was a mix of documentary style, guerrilla thingy, mixed with regular cinematic, and I thought that was a great way that they did it. Because that made it feel real. Like, Blair Witch Project meets Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I think the Blair Witch Project part is what ruined that movie. I hated it.
Was it shaky camera?
Shaky camera. He was talking to the camera. You felt like you were watching a documentary back in high school. And I swear, I almost fell asleep because I could just picture a teacher in front of me now talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then it got better. I loved from, like, I don't know, 43 and a half minutes in to, not like I was keeping track.
So, I heard something about a Marine getting disarmed.
Yes.
Hey, no, there was no Marines in this movie. They were all mercenaries.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all mercenaries.
Working for a multinational group. Don't bring the word Marine into this.
And basically, the main character, whose name was Wykus, right? Was it Wykus or
Wykus?
Wykus.
It was like kind of Wykus, like Wykus or something.
Wykus, Van Hintz, like, I don't know.
He gets sprayed by the fuel that would power the ship to bring the aliens home. And because of that, he starts turning into one of the aliens.
Yeah, so...
He goes all sexy with
when
the
When I actually thought about when I was going into this movie, I was thinking, okay, we're thinking of some kind of Independence Day kind of setup.
Yeah.
Or some kind of thing where these guys got... pretty much what the people from Australia did. They're all a bunch of criminals from, like, you know, how the British did it. Like, they took all their cells, cleaned them the fuck out, put them on a ship, and sent them towards Earth. So it was more like we had to deal with the issue, and it kind of get into that, but it was more like these were people trying to get away from their planet because maybe there's too much of a population, or there was a population issue. Mm. So I'm not exactly sure how to put it, but... it was pretty fucked up in a couple of parts of the movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's a couple of scenes because of the whole eggs and popcorn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do have to make one thing, though. I do have to give a quick piece out there. The guy that did the special effects.
Yes.
And the makeup, phenomenal job.
Exactly. Out of this world.
I've been trying to find out who did it. I can't find it listed anywhere.
It's the Way to Workshop, the guys who did the Lord of the Rings.
Well, no, the actual guy's name.
Oh,
the
okay.
one guy worked on it, I checked IMDb and only said the company. I can't find the one guy that did it.
Because
the action has such a great backing for all that other stuff. Like,
yeah.
He's done Pan's Labyrinth, he's done all those other ones.
Pan's Labyrinth is
amazing. And he helped out with the Hellboy movie a little bit,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. So it's always that kind of setup where he has that backing.
Yeah, because during the metamorphosis part, I really thought... that, you know, when looking at him, I'm like, oh my god.
It looks real.
Flipping. I'm like, oh my god.
It looks real. That's how amazing the CGI graphics were.
Yeah, so I think we should have told them to do the Peter Jackson for the G.I. Joe movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, but, I mean, still G.I. Joe was still...
It was awesome, yes.
Yeah.
Look, there's one movie I've been waiting for 10 years, and it's coming out November 1st. I can't wait. Boondock Saints 2.
Yep.
We've already mentioned that.
I know, but I had to mention it again.
Okay.
Now let's start on the listing for AMC.
Okay. And for rating, I actually have to give this like a 4.9 because it was one of the most original sci-fi movies I've seen in a while. And it just blew me away.
On Anvil and my part is the whole setup, we would drop it down to maybe like the 4.2 area or 4.... Well, he gave it a 3.9, I remember at that point. But I think it was just because of the dry areas and
the dry
starting.
Area was shaky.
Because
was
we didn't know what the fuck was going on. We were kind of like, where is this going to go?
Yeah,
I thought it
added realism to it.
Well, it took too long to set up what was going on. And I'm sorry, after watching Blair Witch Project, I can't stand that shaky camera. It ruins all moves for me because everybody knows Blair Witch Project sucked.
Yeah.
I
love
it. Yeah. Actually, well, Shades, you were talking about funny people.
Well, seeing that, yeah, you haven't been here since last week.
So I saw that on my own, said I wanted to talk about it, found out you guys had already reviewed it, went back, listened to what you reviewed, forgot everything I listened to. So I might talk... Yes, I am. I thought it was a really good movie. I was laughing my ass off for pretty much all of it when I wasn't cringing in annoyance.
Why were you cringing in annoyance?
Major tech issues. I don't know. First of all, I want to smack the director. I don't know if it was he wanted it to be done this way or if he just didn't deal with
the
problem.
He might have been coked the entire time.
It's entirely possible. The boomstick continually dropped into the top of frame. At one point, the entire actual mic itself was visible, as was
I would usually pick something up like that. I never saw it. That's
yeah.
The kitchen thing. I'm very tech heavy. In my focus, I almost always slip into okay CGI. What the fuck? Why can't I see the edge of the scene yet? During one of the doctor scenes. Actually, during all of the doctor scenes, you can see above the set, you can actually see the catwalk. And a bunch of the pictures, they didn't properly treat the glass, so you can see reflections backstage. A lot of scenes in general, you can see over the top of the set. And like I said, I don't know if it was if that camera guy and the boomstick guy need 30 lashings, or if the director needs 30 lashings for telling them to do it.
I think they just need lashings all around.
I think I just want to give someone lashings.
Okay, but, no, I think Bear Juice should go take care of that.
Yeah.
Besides the nitpicking.
Besides the nitpicking, like I said, I enjoyed the movie. If you can ignore those things I mentioned, it's a good movie. My problem, the reason I do the nitpicking is...
You're a ninny?
No. I was suspending my disbelief. I was really getting into it, and then I would see something that...
That would take you out of
it. Crushed it. It was, this isn't really going on. This is a backdrop.
Yeah.
This is the boomstick. You are, in fact, looking at it. Those kinds of things. That's why I have a problem with it. I thought Adam Sandler was friggin' hilarious. I thought all of it was friggin' hilarious. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely obsessions with cocks in this movie.
Well, this is the thing.
What size shoe are you wearing? 11. Ah, supporting the big cock, I see.
Yeah.
just cock this, cock that.
Well, that's what they usually talk about.
Cock that.
No. It was friggin' hilarious. I just was not expecting that when I went to see it with my girlfriend. And my sister.
Were they appreciating the big cock?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, well then.
The entire thing was freaking hilarious. Acting-wise, I have no complaints. Story-wise, I have no complaints. My sole complaint is with the camera and boomstick, and I don't really care whether it's supposed to be there or not.
They just fucked up on those parts, so yeah, that's the only thing that you have to say.
That is my absolute only concern, and a lot of people don't notice that. Like, my friend Ginger, who I refer to as my sister all the time, didn't notice that whatsoever until... She asked me why I was cringing. And then she thought it was funny because she enjoys my suffering.
So how do you give your rating, not counting the technical miscues?
Not counting tech? Definitely a 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10. With tech, 8.8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Tech wasn't as big a deal for me. I'm fixating on it because it is literally my only complaint. I thought it was a friggin' hilarious fucking movie. Totally worth $17 for 3 tickets.
Hey, how's the star made? But.
What?
You know the joke? The three guys?
Oh, God.
Alright, well, let's move on.
Alright, Angel, what do you got for sports to this week?
Oh, sports, alright. Look at this.
Yep.
I'm gonna go lay on the couch back there.
For the week of August 16th, Anvil Sports.
Well, Red Sox had a pretty good week. You know, they took a sweep of Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, we have a one-game lead against Texas when we started the Yankees series last night, which we're not going to talk about because we lost 20-11. But Texas lost too, so we're still one game up in wild card.
That's good.
I am very embarrassed to call myself a Red Sox fan last night. I wanted to go crawl under a giant rock, sit next to Osama bin Laden, probably have a couple drinks. But... onto that, Patriots played this week. We lost 7-6 to the Bengals. Brady played a little bit. He looked good, took a really good hit. Mm-hmm. So, I'm very happy.
And remember, it's just an exhibition game.
Yeah, it doesn't even count. You know, I mean, look at the Detroit Lions last year. They won all 4 preseason games and couldn't win a regular season. If you know, they paid for it.
Mm.
You know, I actually heard they paid off a referee last year and they still lost the game by 13.
Really?
No, but, you know, it sounds good. Nothing in basketball, nothing in hockey. I do have some new things. Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Came out of retirement.
For the third time.
Third, fourth, whatever it is now.
23rd.
Yeah, I think he's retired every year of his career now. We played last night. I've seen, you know, people with no arms throw a football better. He went
really?
one for four for 4 yards. He was the worst quarterback the team had. So... Wow. Whether or not he's got some rust on or what, it all waits to see.
Probably has some kinks in his system.
Yeah, I think he's got more than that. Maybe some kinks in his head or something. Plexico Burress. 9 months ago, everybody knows, shot himself in the leg. Shot himself in the leg. 2 years in jail.
Wait, shot himself.
Shot himself.
And has to go to jail for shooting himself.
He goes to jail for
2 years.
Just like Michael Vick killed a couple dogs, 2 years in jail. Dante Stallworth, drunk high, kills a man, 30 days. Ray Lewis... Yes, I'm bringing this back for the people, you know, who say, what the fuck, leave him alone. No. He's at a party, back in 99, him and his buddies, they're drunk, they start a fight with a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old. The 21-year-old and 24-year-old both wind up dead. He goes and he makes a deal to snitch on the other two guys, gets no time in jail, gets a year probation. The other two guys don't even get jail time. He pays off the family, it's done, he's back playing football, wins Super Bowl MVP the next year. Disney, all the normal promotions, said fuck you. He didn't go to Disneyland. They actually had the quarterback for his team say, I'm going to Disneyland. And they brought the quarterback instead of the MVP. He didn't get the car. He got nothing. So it's just, you know, what sports is showing me now is you can kill somebody and get away with it. But forget about, you know, hurting yourself or killing a dog. You're going to jail for a couple of years. That's basically what they're telling me. And, you know, I'm actually going to touch on another little sports subject.
Okay.
Little League World Series kicked off. And, yes, me and Blue watched some of it. Because, you know, Peabody is being represented. We got our asses again. Whooped.
Yeah. Oh.
It was like, you know, watching a bunch of little leaguers play against, you know, major leaguers. Those guys were hitting the pitcher like you wouldn't believe. I mean, we watched Germany play Japan. I'm not Japan, China, I do apologize. Taipei, China. Taipei beat Germany. Which I kind of find it funny because more than half the German team's from the United States.
Ouch.
But, because, you know, their parents are in the Air Force, so they were allowed to play for the German team. It was horrible. I didn't see one close game. They were all blowouts. But each team gets a guaranteed 3 games. You have to win 2 to advance, so let's hope Peabody takes the next 2. So they can do what Saugus did. But other than that, there's nothing really more in sports.
Okay. Very good.
And that's the Anvil signing off.
Alright. Now, on to anime. Get shades, too, for this. This past Sunday, I went and saw Ponyo, which is the new film from Hayao Miyazaki.
Oh, Hayao Miyazaki. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and you made the point that this is the first Miyazaki film that deals more with sea than air.
Which is one of his reoccurring themes in most of his length films.
I hate to be a dick. What are we talking about?
Ponyo.
Oh, okay. Continue.
Now, the film is about a boy named Sosuke, who finds a magical goldfish and names her Ponyo. This fish turns into a human, much to her father's distaste, and because of that, a great tsunami is caused, and it makes the world of the humans and the world of the sea merge. So, in order for it to all go back to normal, Ponyo must accept becoming a human, and lose all of her magical powers. And by doing that, the whole world becomes balanced again.
But I take it she's not all for that.
She is.
Oh, she is.
Really?
Well, I haven't seen it. I'm going to be seeing it this Monday, actually, so...
And so...
I need to see this movie.
Now, the English voice actors in this film were phenomenal. Tina Fey as Sosuke's mother, she did such a fantastic job. Like, she had that whole motherly instinct in her voice.
Well, you know, you kind of have to be, you have to be trained to do that type of thing. You have to be on the spot. That's the great thing about voice acting. I mean, you can block a scene and do all the movement, but if you don't have that in your voice and in your chi,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
Exactly.
You need to have the right energies, or else it just, no matter how good you are with your voice, no matter how good you are with inflections,
people will not relate to your character. Which
you will sound insincere. It won't work.
It will sound like deadpan.
Yeah. Yes.
Dry.
It'll sound like you're reading off script.
Mm-hmm.
Which is essentially what you're doing without paper.
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson was really cool as Ponyo's father, but when you see his character, no way in hell he would actually play this person in real life. Too flamboyant.
Well, he's the what? Is he a type of fish too?
No, he's actually a human. He's a human that said, fuck you to the human world and decided to live in the sea.
Oh.
Liam Neeson or Leslie Neeson?
Liam Neeson.
Schindler's List?
Yes. Oscar Schindler.
That was pretty fucking flamboyant as is. So I think he could play.
Now, yes, there is a Jonas brother and Miley Cyrus.
Oh, God. Wait.
Do they die? Do they die?
No.
Must fucking die.
Which Jonas brother?
Frankie, the youngest.
Not telling to bite the
curve. Who knows their name?
Frankie Joe. I do the fucking research, okay?
Who researches them dudes?
14-year-olds are like, oh my god, Jonas Brothers!
Yeah!
Holy crap, someone who surpassed my own volume.
Their own parents don't even know their names.
Their own parents don't want to be associated.
They played the characters of Sosuke and Ponyo. They actually did a good job.
Okay.
That's what surprised me. I mean, granted, they could have gotten two no-name kids to do it, but Disney knew if they got a Jonas brother,
youngest Jonas brother is kind of, like, invisible.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the youngest Jonas brother. No one,
no one really cares. Right. They all want the singer, whichever one that is.
That's the other three.
So,
But by getting Miley Cyrus' sister and getting Frankie Jonas, it's going to put more asses in the seat. So more people will go see a Miyazaki film.
They should be seeing Miyazaki films outside of the fact that Jonas and Cyrus were on
them. I know, but
America
still
sells movies by names, not by quality.
Yeah. Now the
which is a shame.
Yeah. Now the storyline itself is a bit weirder than Miyazaki's past films. Well, I was watching an interview that he was doing with the Anime News Network, and Ponyo was originally supposed to be a frog, but a fish was easier to draw. Hence, if you ever see the commercials for it, she kind of looks like a frog in a couple areas. When she's in the human form.
You'd think someone who's been doing animated films all of his life could draw a frog.
Nope.
Well, you know...
I guess.
Well, think about it. Do you know why Dr. Seuss's stuff is so screwy?
No.
He can't draw. No. Totally serious. The
You didn't pay an animator?
Whatever they were called. Some were black. Not even the who. The... Some were black, some were white, some had stars, some didn't.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
No.
The Sneetches.
The Sneetches.
Sneetches.
They were supposed to be chickens, but he couldn't draw a chicken, so he drew Sneetches and decided to make a story around them because they were so deformed and hilarious looking. That's why all of his stuff is screwy. Some people can draw some things, not other things.
So, let me guess. The green eggs and ham was the whole setup because he didn't have the ham color.
Yep, he did not have the pink and the red.
No, he didn't have the pink and the red.
Because he used it elsewhere.
He fucked up
in the story.
Now, there also were a couple plot holes in the film. Like, why Ponyo's father decided to live in the sea and not live in the human world? They never explained that fully.
I think somebody took his prom date.
And somebody was smoking some crack. No,
I'm
just kidding.
Maybe they stole his crack and his prom date.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But for the most part, they did a good job, but the way it ends kind of makes you think they should have added a little bit more to it.
All right, well, I'll be seeing it on Monday, so I'll probably even talk about that on my side a little bit.
Yeah. Do you own it, or will you...
No, it's on theater.
In theater right
now.
Now, my biggest complaint of this film, and it may sound stupid, well, maybe won't sound stupid, they redubbed and bubblegum popped the original theme song. The original Japanese version was soft, cute, it was sweet, it fit with the Miyazaki motif.
And they turned it into...
a electronica, poppy, auto-tunist track.
Electronica is poppy, no.
With Frankie and Miley's sister singing the song.
Oh my god, please shoot me in the face.
No, just gouge out my eardrums. I've got too much to live for.
And I don't know why Miyazaki agreed to it. Maybe
I'm surprised
because... Maybe he was jet lagging. He was like, oh, okay.
Maybe it was the only way he could get them to sign contracts.
To do voices. We want a song.
We get to sing.
Huh?
Get them into bed? No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
you never know.
They're like 11 or 12. What are you thinking?
No,
it's fucking Hollywood. It's Hollywood, dude.
Yeah.
Anything clean as far as the cop doesn't walk in on you.
Going forward and seeing this movie, I was expecting that this big orchestral opening.
Yes, there is that. But it's the end theme.
Okay.
It's the end theme. So you can skip that part. You can walk out of the theater.
Okay.
I probably will. I know.
But despite that, I give the film a 4.5. It's definitely Miyazaki's strangest, but still really good, but it's not his best work.
I'll give a 1 just because of Miley Cyrus and
It's Miley Cyrus' sister.
Who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't know she had a sister.
I give it a -700 just because their names are in it. I see the word Cyrus or Jonas, I want to kill somebody.
Alright, this is an...
Hey, I got a few people I need to introduce you to then, right after you read those names.
Okay.
Alright.
You just introduced me as them.
Oh, true.
Okay, so, you've been watching Heroic Age, Shades.
Oh my god. I'm really sad because I actually finished it.
Oh.
And I'm sad because it ended, but I'm happy because it ended... No. I'm happy because it ended while it was good, not like Naruto, which refuses to die.
We never. Oh, no, by the way, the sisters never talk about Naruto.
No! I thought that was
the hard way.
God,
there's a door that says other Naruto stuff. You open it and it's a toilet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, pretty much, because, like, Naruto has the potential to be good, but they did it all wrong.
It had, all the best potential, and then they fucked it up the ass.
Filler,
no
filler, filler, rape.
They filled it all
filler,
right.
Filler,
rape.
With cock is what they filled it with.
You said it like it's a bad thing.
Well.
Are we talking about the actual cock, or are we talking a chicken?
The chicken, so you can hear it.
Ah.
Anyways.
And
Sasuke's got some very crazy fetishes.
Heroic Age is friggin' amazing. Especially when you see the heroic race. They are retardedly awesome. And they stand taller than mecha suits do. Which, by the way, are like 10 times the height of the people in... Well...
Is that making fun of Gundam Wings or something like that?
No, no, it's just futuristic, so they're... Futuristic space, so they're mecha suits. So
the mech suits, okay.
Mech suits.
All right, cool.
They don't actually... They call them organelles.
Oh, okay.
I'm just used to the generic mech suit. But this takes place in space. The basic premise is, a long time ago, there was a race of beings in our universe known as the Golden Race. They had the power to see the future and create stars. They called out to... the races that were at the time still young and said, come forth. The first 3 races to enter space and leave their home planets of their own power were the Silver Race, who are very humanoid, but are pale and have silver hair, and tend towards white colors, white, light blue, silver, those kinds of shading. The Bronze Race, who are always referred to as ants, although I think they look more like centipedes, millipedes kinds of things. and the heroic race, who the best description would be giant fucking monsters. Problem is, the heroic race had no hearts, so they had no problem destroying stars. They would...
What's so heroic about that?
They were... it was the name given to them by the Golden Race. Remember, the Golden Race could see the future.
Oh, okay.
They were called the Heroic Race, even though they're giant fucking monsters.
So they could have come into this whole part going, okay, we're going to lose, fuck this shit, and leave because they could see the future?
The Golden Race doesn't lose.
Really?
Yeah. A giant war breaks out between the 3 races that came into space. The Heroic Race ends up in a frenzy, which is if... 3 or more heroic... if really 2 or more of the heroic race are fighting in proximity to each other, there's a good chance the frenzy will break out. 3 or more, a better chance. Four of them, it's pretty much a guarantee. 4 or 5 of them, it's pretty much a guarantee that someone's going to go frenzy.
Oh, cool.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God, no.
If one of them smudge, another one's Puma. Is that where the frenzy happens?
Is there a busterfuck? Somebody step on somebody's Converse?
Did the Boston Massacre of sorts happen?
When they frenzy, they mutate. To begin with, they don't need air. They exist in space simply because they choose to. They have the ability to fly.
They're fucking Superman?
They could kill Superman.
Oh, okay.
Without kryptonite.
Oh, okay, alright.
Didn't that happen in the Death of Superman?
Yeah.
Alright, anyways, but back to the fucking story.
When they frenzy, they mutate and become even more ridiculous than they already are, to the point where Bellacross, one of the main characters, is generating enough energy in his body that the ship's computer registers him as the beginning of a supernova.
Really?
So the Golden Race stops the war. Only five of the heroic race are still alive. They're charged with being guilty of some pretty severe crimes and are imprisoned within the bodies of different races. One of them's put in the Silver Race. 3 of them are put into the bodies of races whose names are never actually mentioned. And the 5th one is put into the Iron Race, humanity, the last race to enter space. They actually left after the war was over.
Was he?
Not our fault, we were just slow.
It's okay, Shades. We still like you.
Sort of.
Shut up, Anvil. But,
shut up, bitch.
It follows Princess Dianara, who is one of the few telepaths within humanity, who's guiding her ship using her telepathic abilities instead of following the starways, which are like giant currents in space. It's like finding a current in the ocean and riding it to your destination.
Oh, cool.
It gets you there a lot faster, and it gets you there rather accurately, whereas traveling with... Going into warp drive without starways, if you don't know for a fact where you're going, you could end up anywhere.
Is it kind of like similar to the space travel in the Ender series?
I've not seen, so no, I cannot tell you.
It's a book.
It's a book, like Ender's Game.
I've been meaning to read that, but I haven't actually opened it yet, so I don't know. So, one of the knights, who's one of the other main characters, the main characters are the princess... One of the knights, actually the only knight to have a name, who also has the ability to teleport, and Aegir, who they find on a destroyed planet. He was the only person of the Iron Race, humanity, to be raised by the Golden Race. It turns out he has Belacross of the Heroic Race contained within his body. And it follows... What happens with these three and following the guidance of the Golden Race, fighting off the oppressive tyranny and slaughter attempts of the Silver Race and Bronze Race. I really can't say much more without giving away crucial plot points, but it's a really good action movie. It's a really good suspense movie.
You mean the anime?
Anime, sorry. It's a really good... action, suspense, adventure series. It's got a lot of intrigue and just a lot of stuff you won't see coming. I give it easily 9.5 out of 10 because I just thought it was freaking amazing.
Awesome.
I actually, one of my biggest problems is a lot of animes I find have lag moments. I don't recall any in this series. So,
cool.
Two major thumbs up.
Now, Pandalicious, has there been any series that you've been getting into recently? Or?
No, because I'm broke and don't have a concrete job to go and buy stuff.
Neither do I. They do have wood jobs, too.
What?
They have wood jobs, too.
Funny. But I've just been playing a lot of games lately.
Okay, well, our game section is next, so what... Well, Bluonic has got a lot of stuff, too.
Well, what anybody want to go... I'm just trying to remember what else was on the list. Like
well, we
on.
Were thinking about doing a Needless follow-up, but the new episode just came out today, so maybe we can, like, look up...
I just still want to say, episode 6 embarrasses me. It was
bad. I'm sorry.
The storyline of it was friggin' hilarious... There was just far too much...
Lolly aunt nudity.
Too much... Yeah.
Boobies?
No, they were...
Bush?
Hidden, but... No.
It's JJ?
They ended up completely naked, but because the characters were embarrassed, they were walking around covering themselves.
No, you must be prideful of the nakedness.
Okay, Lolly, I'm very happy that they were ashamed. I don't want to see that.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know it was Lolly. I just thought it was nakedness.
There was a little bit of just... non-lolly nakedness, but it was mostly lolly, which is not
it was
cool.
Bad.
But the I'm point is, the sheer amount of fan service in that episode detracted from the storyline to the point where it felt more like I was watching a softcore, poorly made hentai than watching an anime series.
And Pandalicious knows her hentai.
Yeah, we didn't need to go into that, but yes.
She likes the hentai.
Hey, hentai good. I fully support
I never said it was anything bad. I was just not going to bring it up.
Yeah. Have no shame.
I don't.
Good.
So.
I especially love the hentai dubbings.
Oh. I missed most of the hentai dubbings, but I freaking love the hentai AMVs.
I didn't see the AMVs this year, but I did go to the hentai
lollipop, 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 lollipop,
lollipop.
Aww. That and what's this? What's this? There's something in the air.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, splooch like.
Okay, now that we traumatized Blonic.
Fuck, man.
Let's bring him back to his happy place. Let's talk about some video games, alright?
Glock.
Anyways.
Glock.
I've got, hold on, 6 games here that I want to review. 4 of that are good.
2 are not
good.
2
that are just shit. Horrible. Just why
let's
the fuck did they create?
Talk about the shit first. Let's
okay.
Talk about something good.
Alright,
shit.
Whoa.
No, talk about the shit. It makes
Wait.
The awesome stuff sound better.
Yes. Wait, I already talked about the shit. I mentioned the Red Sox last night.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there's more shit to come.
There's more.
Do we take a bigger shit than that?
Yes. Alright, so anyways, first off, Shadow Complex. I don't know how the fuck E3 gave this fucking awards or whatever. Worst fucking game in my line,
oh,
you know,
Lord.
A fucking thing.
Wow.
Anvil watched me play it for all of 2 seconds, and you cannot move anywhere. You know how, like, if you played the old Ninja Turtles game, you had a side-scroller, but you were able to move back and forth in the front, in, like, the foreground and the background and all that other
foreground,
stuff?
Foreground, background.
You couldn't do that in this fucking game.
Bullshit.
You can only move that way and vertical and up and down. That was the only fucking thing that you could possibly do. I mean, it was cool because some of it had kind of a parkour feel to it, slash, you know, running around, climbing shit, and shooting the fuck out of people. I just wanted to blow my fucking brains out. It was just that bad because I wanted to move the motherfucker up and back in the foreground, you know, background, and everywhere I could fucking move him because he just kept getting shot. No matter what I had to do, I had to drop him behind something and make him duck in order to make him not get shot. It was fucking annoying.
Bullshit.
So I don't know why E3 gave this shit, like, thumbs up or awards or whatever.
There's thumbs up the asshole.
Somebody got down on their knees and did something.
I actually just downloaded the demo, but I have not actually sat down to watch.
I would suggest just to delete it off there because it's not worth it.
All right. Well,
what happens is when you send somebody a box of whiskey and they get drunk enough and...
Like, who gave me all this whiskey? Oh, the complex guys up top rating.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they brought me some booze.
Thank you for the booze.
And their security are well figured women. You get 3 flums up.
3.
Holy shit! I think I got a 4th one in there too.
That's not a thumb. That's your penis.
Oh my god!
All right. Well, anyways, the next one was Lost Planet 2, the co-op demo version. I feel it was shit. I mean. More or less, the whole setup was this big friggin', I don't know, lava alligator, I want to call it.
Giant lava alligator snakes
that came out of its, like, mouth to fucking attack the shit out of you. So what you had
wait,
to
wait,
do...
Wait, I'm sorry, I'm having a flashback to Resident Evil on the PlayStation.
Oh,
no. Yeah, exactly. So more or less, it was, like, along those lines, and I felt that it was kind of hard to move this guy around. It was all, but I have to say the cool part was you were able to jump into a mech suit and use that to
at least go into the foreground and background.
Yeah, you can move around like that.
So it's a step above the other.
So it's definitely a step above the other. But for me, I haven't really played the first Lost Planet, so I can't really fully comment. And maybe probably when the second one comes out, it might be good because I think it got a good ratings on Lost Planet 1. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like one of those games that I'm really into. I'm into shooters, but this whole setup was just not my style.
Yeah.
It just wasn't my just whole setup.
Not here for it.
Now, what kind of shooters? Jell-O?
Whiskey?
Yeah.
That's bad. We pulled out the same time.
Oh, what'd you say?
Chocolate cake shots.
How did I know he was going to come up with chocolate cake?
They're really good, man.
Have you ever gone to the Hard Rock Cafe and had one?
Yes.
Okay, then.
They're good for it.
I'm going to get alcohol.
Since we're on the alcohol subject, for all those in the room and for our listening audience, I have a question. Does anyone know how to make grandma's apple pie? It's pure alcohol. It tastes like a warm apple pie. You know how?
Dude, I know more recipes than you could dream of.
Okay, when I turn 21, you're fucking making me one.
And then,
all right. Well,
actually,
anyways.
You know what? I can't.
No?
It has to be a second drink.
Okay.
I have to give you a real man's drink for number one.
Fair enough.
Irish Car Bomb.
All right, we're all a bunch of bastards here. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so
and
anyways, on to the good games. most of these right now are between demos and arcade games.
Problem.
3 out of 4 are demos, and 1 I actually bought as an arcade game for 1,200 points. Because I felt like I needed to drop $12 on a fucking, you know, game.
Right.
So Trials HD is a pretty cool setup because you're able to use a motorcycle, a dirt bike, and you're able to climb up on these insane setups that they create in these levels. Tons of levels. I don't think I've gotten bored of it. I've gotten pissed off a little bit at it, but I definitely can give it...
Have you rage quit once or twice?
Yeah, I've rage... There are those days where I'm just like...
Fuck this shit?
Yeah, just like, it gets to the point where you're just like, fuck that shit! Fuck it! You throw your controller against, like, the wall or, like, the couch, and then you're just like, you know, slam off the power button on your Xbox or your console and just say, fuck this shit, and go outside for a couple minutes and then go back in and go at it again.
You actually go outside for fresh air?
Yeah. Or otherwise I have it pumping in by the air conditioner.
Oh!
As long as you got an AC.
Yeah. Alright.
Tank of oxygen.
Definitely have to give this game, you know, one of those, you know, for an arcade setup, for, like, out of five, it's definitely one of those 4.5. It's really that good. If you like kind of that setup, but sometimes it could be annoying. There are some crazy, like, side games that they give you, like, there's one where you have to balance your motorcycle on a big metal ball. And you have to make it as far as you can on one of these crazed levels.
What?
And also one where you're in the metal ball and you have to keep it. You know, if you ever seen those like motorcycle circus kind of.
Awesome.
Yeah. So just picture that as you have to keep it yourself going, and you keep going through the level, and it's literally like you're in a pinball machine. It's fucking insane.
Awesome.
So you have to keep yourself from crashing in that. And
dude,
so
that's fucking awesome.
It is a pretty insane.
You have to watch
explosions everywhere. Explosions everywhere.
Like Michael Bay
explosions.
Say again?
Do you have to worry about giant flippers?
Yeah, actually you do. There is one part of the games where you try to get up on
God,
the height. So anyways, but yeah, what were you saying?
I was saying these explosions, are they like Michael Bay explosions?
Yeah, if you end up falling off on one certain area and you end up in full of the diesel cans and stuff like that, boom, just bang, fuck, dead.
Big bada boom.
How does that
big bada boom.
And he sent me the video of this on YouTube.
It was fucking awesome. Hilarious. My next one is going to be Splosion Man, definitely. Indefinitely, because it went down from 1,200 to 800 points now.
Awesome.
So I'm really... I'm happy about that. Next one out of the demos is Dirt 2. Graphics are just fucking gorgeous. Best graphics I've seen in a race car game next to Grid. Dirt 1. Well, that's the only thing about those games that I'm mentioning is Codemasters. These guys have made fucking just gorgeous games. They've done awesome on the graphics, and Dirt 2 looks like another just all-out great game that's going to be there, and definite buy. NHL 10. Anybody? Anybody?
Go back to Canada, you hockey-loving bitch.
Okay.
Boo, well. Sports.
Fuck you.
Well,
sports
NHL
are for
10.
Playing, not for video games.
Oh, okay.
And
Madden.
Watcher.
And Madden. Come on, what about Madden?
John Madden become a zillionaire off of that series.
I know, it's embarrassing.
Alright. NHL 10 was a good game. You have two different modes that you're able to try on there. One's pro mode, which means that you get to try from beginning at the ranks. Like, you have to work your way up in the ranks in order to get into the draft. And, you know, picked and all that other fun stuff. It's a pretty insane setup on that part. Then they have from the Stanley Cup of this year, the Penguins, Penguins versus Red Wings. So more or less, it's you pick or choose. I usually pick the Penguins because they keep kicking ass, and they won, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Just making sure because I love watching the disappointment on the Red Wings.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely.
I got to watch them do it in real life. started
crying.
No English. That's the first time I've understood anything that came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I go back to Russia.
Alright, well, anyways, I would suggest maybe to buy this game if you're liking that. I have to try out 2K10 also to give, like, another kind of official report on what might be the better hockey game out of those two. But they definitely did add so many things, seeing that I used to play all the hockey games from Sega Genesis up to Sony.
I used to play the ice hockey game for NES.
Yes.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. So, anyways.
I feel so young in this room.
You are young in this room. Shut up.
Yes.
You're the only one that can't drink.
Anyways, next to that, one of the best ones that I got to try out, and it just recently popped up pretty much yesterday, was Section 8. Now, I remember talking to Panda, and she got to...
I got a booth visit over at South Peak and got to play that, and I'm getting one for free for the 360.
Son of a bitch.
Because I'm awesome.
Oh, God.
Was there anything bad about that?
No.
You stop pulling guns on people. Come on. I want my Walter P22 back, okay?
Okay. Well, but anyways, I have to say that their setup was much, just an awesome setup. I felt when you do the drop thing, I felt, well, actually, when you watch the actual starting video, I thought it was like Starship Troopers, Like, it was like how the movie Starship Troopers was, but it has so much of a cooler setup where you actually get
You think something's cooler than Starship Troopers?
I'll fucking kill you. I will. Okay. Whoa, anyways, I'll watch.
Starship Troopers, what?
No, I said it was actually cooler than Starship Troopers in that sense that you're able to actually just be launched out of the dropship by, you know, that setup instead of having to land the fuck down and then run out.
They call that burning in. You burn into the...
You burn into the drop zones and stuff like that. It's pretty insane.
And if you time it right when you begin to break, you can actually see the people below you, and you can actually...
You can control it so you can drop right down on them.
And it will be part of an achievement later on, and I can imagine so many people just taking people out with...
You're going to be... You know, it's going to be like...
What I would do.
You go into this full-out sprint, because that's... It's like more or less you're in kind of your own little mech suit. The only thing I have to say is, like, when you're doing regular walking around, it kind of sucks because it's slow. But once you get into, like, super boost mode, you're like, whoosh, you're just fucking insane. You're running, you know, everywhere. I have to give them on the weapon setup. They have, you know, sniper, which is recon. They have engineers. They have, you know, it's the basic kind of setups with those things.
Do you get, if, while you're playing, can you pick up additional weapons, or do you only get what you start with?
I wasn't actually sure on that one.
You must get some additional pylons.
I couldn't find anything that was like a box.
In the demo
ammo
that
box.
I played at E3, you do pick up other guns on the maps, and also eventually when you start getting heavy machinery like tanks, you can actually call for a tank, and it will just materialize in front of you.
Yeah, see, she was able to play like the higher end stuff. You only get the demos that, you know, Xbox will provide for you to play, to try it out, to get you hooked that way.
I don't never played Xbox.
Well,
but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, pretty much these are the games that I was trying over the past week, and I'm hoping that Xbox will throw out some more stuff. Yet again, they have the videos for games that they've been putting out has been pretty fucking hilarious. They did one for the Army of Two 40th Day group. And it's them in the office. I showed this to people, and they thought it was great because it was them in the office, and it was, what was it, office antics, pretty much, as people were saying. It was kind of, you know, he's trying to fix the copier, and it gets to the point where he pulls out his pistol and puts it around into the thing. Then there's one, he's copying his ass. They're playing pool with the hot girls, and it's pretty much all the guys that created the game.
They're
so
like throwing stuff at them, and they got a car door.
Yeah, they got their car door set up from like the first one. You know, they did a great job with that setup. A lot of other videos that are coming out, I showed Split Second. That looks just fucking sick. There's two videos that they put out, and there's one where they have it so you can actually set a plane crashing into the ground and having to try to drive around it while it's landing on the runway and smashing down on people. So, I have to say, go check out Split Second. It's insane. But I think I'm pretty much done right now. So, stick a fork in me. Onto the books.
Oh!
Yes, there's actually people in here that can read.
Yeah.
IR reads goods.
We are interpreters!
As evident,
we read lots of lolcats.
As evident in the last one that we did, I reviewed the Scott Pilgrim, so we got some other people doing some book reviews. Shades?
Just recently, I've come to the sad realization that I have to wait till March 2010 for the next and possibly final book in a series I've been in love with for a while to come out. The Keys to the Kingdom series by Garth Nix. I've read the six books that are out so far: Mr. Monday, Grim Tuesday, Drowned Wednesday, Sir Thursday, Lady Friday, and Superior Saturday. I'm waiting for Lord Sunday to come out, and I suspect that'll be the final book in the series.
Well, I don't know, it's 7 days and a week, so I don't know.
Well, there might be an eighth... from reading it, there might be an eighth book where everything gets wrapped up, something like that, where the architect shows up again. But, long story short, there's a house. It's the quote-unquote center of the universe. It was the first thing created out of nothing before the secondary realms, such as Earth, were created. The house does a lot of stuff, such as keeping records on absolutely everything that goes on in the secondary realms. The architect who created everything from nothing at some point went missing. We're still not clear on what happened, and it looks like most people don't know. But she left a will behind, which was divided up into seven...
Wait, the architect is a she?
Yes.
All right. Continue.
A rather tall, imposing
She.
Okay.
She's white.
Damn.
And there I go, crushing panda.
Oh, damn. So close.
Actually, they never specify her color.
I think she's black, but that's just my opinion.
She's fair purple.
She's not human. She's a denizen. It doesn't matter. Well,
she's that thing from the Avatar.
She's over 8 feet tall.
Yeah, that's sexy as shit right there.
No, she's violet herbal.
All of the beings that live within the house are denizens. These small denizens are about 6 foot tall, and depending on their level of importance within the house, they get taller or...
Wait, so she is considered small?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way.
Oh.
The architect's will ended up being divided among the 7 trustees. Mr. Monday, Grim Tuesday, Yada, Freaking Yada.
We
get it. As were 7 keys of power. These keys hold intense...
The balance of power?
Something like that. They are basically shards of the architect's power. It's been a while since I actually started the series, so I don't remember what Mr. Monday's key did. Grim Tuesday's key was a pair of gauntlets that was used for shaping nothing into whatever you wanted it to be. Different keys have different powers tied to which demness of the house they're from and what that particular trustee was entrusted to do within the house. The problem is the trustees decided they didn't want to give up power, so... Yeah, I know. Oh, my God.
No way.
I'm ignoring you, Ample.
You are not here.
So... The will itself is magical in nature and seeks to become freed from its imprisonment and execute whatever it was supposed to do. It's actually still not fully clear what the hell it's supposed to do. The main character, Arthur Penhooligan, was chosen by the will because he was on the verge of death.
Well, so, you usually do a will when you're on the verge of death.
So, the will... the first piece of the will escaped, brought him to the house where it cured him of his ailments, which was mainly just asthma.
Wow,
well,
that's huge.
I mean, people have died from asthma.
Yeah, the will saved him when he was on the verge of death. The sole reason he's alive is because the will picked him to be the rightful heir of the house, and rightful heir of the architect. So it's his job to collect all 7 pieces of the will, each one housing a different personality. All
right. So now the question I have is like, did this will like break into its like pieces and then went all over the house, or did it like
the trustees broke it into pieces? Each one of them guards a specific piece which seeks to escape.
Oh, okay.
each piece of the will has a different personality. As they are freed, they fuse together to become Dame Primus, I believe it is, which I'm probably butchering it, but it's Latin for Lady One, the First Lady, kind of thing. She's got a freaking ego.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Being the one, that makes some
like
sense.
Like Barbara Bush.
Kind of reminds me of the whole portal setup. Remember how you're knocking off the pieces, and it's all like, it's got personalities. And
one just snarls
like,
at you.
Well, in Superior Saturday, Arthur finds the piece of the will that's basically temperament. Control, and it's okay, we have a lot of things to do, let's take it easy, let's do what needs to be done as best as we can, and then move on to the next thing, which I'm sympathizing with Arthur on this one and going, oh my God, why couldn't he have found this one first? The will has created so many problems up to this point, because she's like, do this now. No, what? No, we need to do it this way. I don't get what you're thinking, you know, that kind of shit. So he's been getting pieces of the will, he's been getting the keys to the kingdom, and the house has been slowly falling into disarray because each of the trustees has been, in one way or another, negligent in their duties.
So how would you rate this series?
Fucking 9.
He rates this fucking great.
Fucking 9.9 out of 10. This.
I'm just making a 10.
No, he can't. There's got to be some little discrepancy that he's.
Because he hasn't completed the series, so something could go horribly wrong.
Depending
in the last book.
On how,
like Snape could kill Dumbledore. Oops.
Depending on how book 7 goes, depending on if there are any others, depending on if it ends on a good, if it ends while it's good, or if it gets dragged out till it sucks, my rating of it could go to a 10 or it could drop down.
Okay.
But as of right now. With my sole annoyance being the 7th book isn't out yet, it's a 9.9 out of 10.
Awesome.
It's fucking amazing. If you like reading, read this. If you don't like reading,
nah,
tough shit, give it a chance. No. Fucking read it anyways.
Now, Anvil, you got a book too called All Souls.
I can read?
Guess
apparently
so.
Apparently you can, so read it.
Holy
shit.
Holy shit. Now, the book's called All Souls. It's written by Michael Patrick McDonald. It's based back in about the 60s, you know, an Irish kid grew up in the Southie Projects. So it's basically, if you're from Boston area, it's a book you want to read. Whitey Bulger, the, you know, huge problems with the drugs, murder, suicide, all that stuff that was going on at that time.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting towards Whitey Bulger that he should read this shit.
He should read it. Mention.
Okay, well, anyway.
And credit us on his, you know, former mobster website. Basically, at the beginning, it was his mom, the guy that she was with on the side, and then all 11 of her children.
Dang.
Says when they died, when they were born, because a bunch of them did die. The youngest one was his brother, Patrick Michael McDonald. Yes, it's creepy. They switched the names. He died at 3 weeks old. And it actually mentions, like, what happened. He wound up having pneumonia.
Poor little fucker.
Back then, like, hospitals didn't take you, so it actually said Boston Children's Hospital sent him away. Because they were done giving out their free care for the day, and he dies the next day.
Yeah.
Now, I can't say, you know, anything about where I work or anything, but it's this place is closed. The old Mass Mental Health, they talk about it, all the torture that went on there.
Mm.
Basically, he talks about how, you know, like his sister died, and just basically how it was living in the projects. It's a great book. You know, it really gives you a sense of what Southie is. You know, the tight-knit Irish community. So, whether or not you're Irish or not, you know, like this book. I actually just ordered it so I can actually have it. So and so I can actually say I own a book.
Nice.
So it now goes on your shelf with, by itself, in between the book things.
No,
that
okay.
One book.
No, no, I'm sure he's got all kinds of sports collectibles on that shelf, too.
Yeah, and porn.
Okay. No porn.
You keep that
You in? Don't keep that on the mantle when you got the family coming over. That's
no.
Underneath the mattress.
No, no, no. It's in the drawer underneath tank tops.
Right, maybe that's where yours is.
Hey, it's sitting in between my autograph of Joe Theismann and my autograph of William the Refuser. Right?
Shit.
Right below your Celtics championship ring.
Okay, so rate the motherfucker.
I give it, since you know, that's the only book on this, I'm going to give it a 10. Straight out. Because you know what? I don't like to read. I got, you know, first page, I couldn't put it down.
So, yeah, so it's one of those one setups like, okay, it didn't drop off, it just was actually.
I lost an entire day
to reading.
Holy crap.
I know, I could have been off playing sports or watching movies and I read.
More like I thought he was going to say watching porn, but.
Yeah,
okay.
I thought that too.
Yeah, I thought that.
You're not going to porn, Noskins.
No porn for you.
Aww.
Aww. Don't make go.
He's a porn Nazi, Noskins.
Is he
no part for you.
Is he the cousin of the soup Nazi?
Yes, he is the cousin of the soup Nazi.
I can grow a goatee, not just a mustache. No soup for you.
Yeah,
I take over when he's on vacation.
Aww.
So when I get my soup.
No soup for you.
All right.
Let's take a fork into this podcast.
This
what do you
motherfucker's
mean?
Over.
This motherfucker. Yes, thank
it's,
you.
It's already.
I
there.
Thought we got a pitchfork this week instead of a regular fork.
Alright, let's pitch.
That's a huge group.
Alright,
I've
pitch
got
fork
the pitchfork
it.
Barn
it's okay.
Animals and shit too while we're at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pitchfork and torch.
Okay.
Check us out on iTunes. Type in Boston Basher Brigade. You'll find us that way. Or you can check us out on www.bostonbasherbrigade.com. Send us feedback on the bastards at bostonbasherbrigade.com.
Or email us personally.
Yep.
Our name with bostonbasherbrigade.com.
Also, we are on MySpace and Facebook, so you can join our group on Facebook or also join us, our friend on MySpace. So,
and Pandalicious.
Thank you guys very much for having me here. It was a lot of fun.
We got Panda.
And plug your show, too.
Plug it.
Check out the Electric Sisterhood.
Check out the Electric Sisterhood. We're on iTunes. There's a group on Facebook. I think we're on MySpace. Not that I checked that. I don't. We're also part of the All Games Network. We air on Monday nights around 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're hoping to get that changed. If you like girls, I mean, woo! I like girls. If you like games, anime, just
anything.
It just
works out. No, I'm just kidding.
Any of the stuff underneath the geek spectrum, you like it, we do it, you'll love us. So please come and check us out.
Awesome.
Rock on.
Yes. So until next time, boys and girls, this is King Baby Duck.
Melodic.
Shades Black Flame.
And, don't forget me, Pandalicious, stopping by.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, sign out, baby.
And we are the best.
Woo! With the sister in tow.
Sexy party.